is the 10th January 1992. We'll continue our Dhamma talk. Yesterday I explained you how a meditator can experience the causal relation of a mental and physical phenomena when the concentration is deep enough. Unless you have attained purity of mind, you are not able to realize any mental or physical phenomena. Only you have attained purification of mind to a certain extent, you begin to realize bodily and mental phenomena in their true nature. Today, I want to repeat how a meditator experiences the mental and physical phenomena and their specific characteristics and general characteristics, rather I'll list some specific characteristics and also how they have analytical knowledge of nama and rupa, mental and physical phenomena, as a preparation for rightly understanding of the cause, the law of a cause and effect in this field of meditative experience. So, what you should remember is that none of the meditators can realize any mental or physical phenomena if he hasn't attained purification of a mind, that is, if he hasn't attained some degree of a deep concentration. When he hasn't deep concentration, he can't realize any mental or physical phenomena as they really are, even though he trying to realize it. So what you need is purification of mind, purity of a mind that's a deep, some degree of deconcentration. If your mind is well concentrated on any mental process or physical process which is observed, say for about 10 minutes continuously without break, then you can purify your mind for about 10 minutes. Within this 10 minutes, your insight that arises together with the concentration becomes penetrating to a certain extent that it's enough for you to realize any mental process or physical process which is observed. So to attain the concentration deep enough to realize embodiment process, you need continuous and constant mindfulness for a certain period of time, at least an hour or 2 hours. Better to have it for the whole day. Could you have a continuity of mindfulness for the whole day? Yes. You can't now. You can't now. But later on, when your mindfulness becomes gradually clearer, sharper, and more powerful, then concentration becomes deeper, then you need not put any effort and your noting and your practice so that you can make mindfulness continuous for the whole day. See, after 1 month of retreat, 1 month of meditation. After 1 month of meditation, you need not put any effort in your practice to have a continuity of mindfulness for the whole day. I'm sure. But you must try your best from now on. Then you have it, will have it. Then what you need is to make some more effort in your practice, so that you are aware of all daily activity, almost all daily activities, as much as possible, slowing down all actions and movements. But in sitting meditation and the walking meditation, you are striving to have a continuity of a mindfulness for the whole sitting and the whole walking. But there may be some thoughts, not very often, occasionally. This thought will be overcome by noting it attentively, energetically. Then your mindfulness becomes clear, sharp, and powerful. Then concentration becomes deep enough to cause the insight knowledge arise. So, when your insight or experiential knowledge becomes sharp and penetrating, First of all, you know when you are noting, observing, say, some of our trivial thoughts, small thoughts, which is arising at the moment, thinking. You have less, becomes less thoughts gradually because your concentration becomes better. When your concentration is better and deeper, then thoughts are not less, but much more. Thoughts you find there. When you become less thought, it means your concentration becomes better and deeper. Then, when you note thinking, wondering, and then you come to realize thinking mind is a one process. Then the mind that notes it is another process. The dual process of mental phenomena arising and then passing away, but you are not yet to realize the passing away of the thought until the thinking mind has disappeared. Actually, the thought process is not a single process. The thought process consists of a series of moments of thoughts which are rising and passing away one after another. But you are not yet realized it as a series of a thought process which is arising and passing away. Later on, when your concentration is deep enough, you will be able to realize it also. But just now, at this stage of experiential knowledge, what you know is there's a thinking process. When you note thinking, then there's the noting process. There are two separate processes of a mentality. You find there. In the beginning of the practice, you do not differentiate between the two processes of mental phenomena. You think, I'm noting. My mind is thinking, I'm noting. Thinking. When you begin to note the thinking process, the noting should be attentive and energetic, somewhat quick. Here, I'm explaining you how a meditator realizes the thought process when he notes the thinking mind. Then here, by the way, I want to tell you one thing. Two of the meditators here asked me in this way, why there are many prominent mental processes and physical processes to note. Why do you teach us to note only rise and fall of the abdomen? That's their question. Is the question right? No. But two of the meditators have put that question to me. One meditator put it about 1 week back. The other meditator put it this morning. Though I explained, the other meditation, the other mental states and physical states, and also how they experience it. Then they put this question. Why? Yes. They do not grasp the principle and the technique of a meditation. But they have some experience, some good experience here in their meditative practice. Good experience. Even though they have good experience, they do not understand the theory and the technique of this meditation. I very often said, principle of Upasana meditation is to realize whatever arises, to be mindful of whatever arises in our body and mind as it really occurs. Have you heard of this? Yes, you have heard. Then I ask them, I very often mention this principle. Have you heard of it? They say, we have heard. So it's a very difficult to put one to correct path, the right path. But they have some experience. Even though they ask this question, they are noting mental states, emotional states. One of the meditators dealt with the emotional states, which is very strong, so he feels he was met. Because he feels very strong, tense and tight in the body because of too much effort. Yes. Then here I'll tell you today also my talk will be 30 minutes because yesterday one side of the cassette recorded the 30 minutes talk. Today another side, B side of the cassette will record. So both sides will fully record it to the talk. Then you will be happy with it because you have much more time to spend on meditation. Then here I want to point out one thing very clearly. When you know thinking, that you know there's a thinking process, and there's the mind that notes it, or noting process. The At the same moment, we think the two processes are going on at the same moment. There's a thinking mind, then there's the mind that notes it. Considering this concept of the two processes arising at the same moment, then the mental states or consciousness can arise, two consciousness can arise at the same moment. Because we do not realize the arising and passing away of every moment of a consciousness one after another, so we take it. Actually, none of our mental states or consciousness arise at the same moment. Any two of the mental states of consciousness do not arise at the same moment. So when the thinking process is arising, then noting process doesn't arise. Only a moment of thought arises and then passes with them, the noting mind, a moment of a noting mind arises and the passes with. Then after it, the thinking process, a moment of a thought arises and then passes with. Then after it, the noting mind, a moment of a noting mind process arises and passes with. In this way, the two processes of a thinking mind and noting mind, arising and passing away, arising and passing away, alternately, very, very swiftly. The Lord Buddha said, there is no simile for the swiftness of arising and passing away of the consciousness, the Buddha said. So, in the commentary to Pali text, it said, in a blink of an eye, there are many thousands of consciousness has arisen and passed away in a wink of eye. It means that the arising and passing away of a moment of a consciousness is too swift to compare with anything. So the Buddha said there's no simile for the swiftness of arising and passing away of the consciousness. That's why a thought moment arises and passes away, then the noting mind arises and passes away. In this way, when the dual process of a noting mind and a thinking mind arising and passing away very, very swiftly, alternately, so we think there are two processes of mental and physical phenomena arising at the same time, at the same moment. Then, for example, say you are happy with your the Meditate experience, because the concentration is good, insight also clear, and sharpening experience in some new things, and sitting as well as in walking. So happiness arises. There, the happy state of mind arising and passing away, the process of happiness rising and passing away, rising and passing away. But actually, you do not realize this arising and passing away of happiness. What you are feeling is just happy. That's all. But actually, the process of happiness arises one after another. You do not know it. Then, one who meditator rise from the seat and walk by you, near you. Then the floors sound a cricket, makes a cricking sound. Your concentration, what is that? Breaks. The concentration breaks, then that happiness becomes weak, and then it has disappeared. Then what arises? The anger arises. But the anger arises immediately after the happiness has disappeared. The anger arises. Sometimes you do not think happiness disappeared. You think anger arises while you are feeling happy. Actually, happiness has disappeared. Then the anger arises. Unless happiness disappears, the anger can't arise. So, there you see, immediately after disappearance of happiness, then the anger arises. Then again, you note the anger. The anger has disappeared because your concentration is good enough, even though it's broken momentarily. Then you note the anger, then anger has disappeared. Then again you can retain your concentration, deep concentration. Then you feel good and happy. Then happiness comes again. Then here is evident that happiness is not permanent. Is it right? Yes, if happiness is permanent, when you have practiced about 10 days, you feel your concentration is good. Every meditator's concentration was good in some cases, at some moments. And if the happiness is permanent, then you won't feel aversion. You won't feel aversion. You won't have anger. You won't get disappointment. You don't want to go back home. If the happiness coming in, because you are always happy here. Then is happiness permanent or impermanent? Permanent or impermanent?